Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
All right, so here we are with the one and only Eric Cooper. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, you guys?
We're doing okay.
We're good. Yeah.
And you're here to tell us all about your new book, Star Enforcers.
Well, Star Enforcers, this is a work of love, same as the Night Seeker book. And I actually had a co-writer with this one.
Oh.
I wasn't solo on this one. So actually, co-writer was from Utah. His name is Miles Simon. And young guy, met online, and we met at San Diego Comic-Con, and we started talking about stuff that we love, and we came up with this idea called Star Enforcers.
Nice.
And it's been blissful ever since.
All right, so not to spoil anything, what's the elevator pitch for Star Enforcers?
Well, Star Enforcers is about a starship about the size of like the Defiant from Star Trek.
What's that?
It's about a ship about the size of the Defiant from Star Trek, and it has a crew member of 50 people, and they're all convicts, but they have been given deputized undercover officers to do covert operations for a authority called the Flow Council, and it's almost like a hierarchy, and they have to do these unusual assignments that are very very dangerous for the crew, and the best thing about this whole thing is that the captain. He's been forced to work with these people because, you know, that's part of his sentence also. He has to serve 5 years on the ship. And he has no idea what the profiles of his crew. So he has to actually ask them what you do or why you're here, and it'll be up to them if they want to tell him or not. And it's a very daunting task for him to try to get through these dangerous assignments and not get killed in the process.
Of course. So... what was one of the inspirations for the book?
Well, the inspiration for this was actually I wanted to have more diversity in the realm of science fiction. And I was going through, like, starship captains and lieutenants and stuff like that and said, you know, there hasn't been any Latino starship captains at all.
Hmm.
So I said, okay, let's start with this premise of a kick-ass captain that comes from a rough background,
mm-hmm.
but he's sheltered by his father, who's actually he's a master for his Arab galaxy, and he shelters his kid, but his kid wants to go off and do his own thing.
Right.
And
nice.
And his father is given this choice of his son, say, look, your son's been caught doing these things, so are we going to have him in jail for life, or are we going to give him an assignment to work for the good guys? And that's the premise of everything. And then we started going into the crew members that he's going to work with. So we have assassins, some drug runners, people that dealt with slavery. And, you know, we have all this mixture of crews on the ship. And they're a mixture of humanoids and aliens. And a unique character that's also in this book is Kevin Grievous, if you know him as Raze from Underworld.
Okay.
He is... the android on the ship, but he's more like a liquid Terminator, and he's an infiltrator. So, and he's very straightforward, but he will kick your ass to heartbeat. But he's very loyal to the crew, which is a great thing about the character.
Nice.
All right. So for people here who might not know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how about the Night Seeker books?
Okay. Well, Night Seeker itself, it was based upon my life in New Jersey, and I wanted to have something, a character that people could relate to. It also came from more of the urban, say, middle-class area, and he was something that I wanted to aspire to, almost like a Spider-Man type character,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted something of my own. So, but I loved Predator and Terminator and Aliens, So I decided to make my own mixture character based upon those premises. And when I started writing the Night Secret novels, it was a relief for me because I was going through depression. So that character himself forced me out of depression to actually open up to my dark side after down paper. And I was able to cater through my depression through the writing I was doing. And the characters I came up with, like Tigron, the Pakistani cage fighter, Warlord Sage, he was killed by Genghis Khan and resurrected from our time to become the warlord of our time.
Yes.
And the girlfriend for the character, Kyra Maru, she's half black, half Japanese. Hmm. And, you know, you have all these mixtures of different cultures in the book. Even to have some guys from Star Trek in the book as well, like Patrick Stewart, his name is Talbert Singe in the book. He's a devil's messenger. And he sets everything up for Warlord Sage when he's resurrected on time. And then we have Jonathan Frakes, who's Commander Riker. He is a casino owner in Atlantic City. His name is Kevin Melbourne. Huh. And he owns Caesar's Casino in Atlantic City. But he's very crooked, and he has like a underground fighting arena in the casino where people do illegal betting.
Nice.
And also Avery Brooks from Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He is the captain of New York Police Department. And,
okay.
You know, we have all these things in play in the book, and a lot of different stories happening at one time, and they all merge and combine together. So it's a lot of fun having those worlds put in place and just people just entertain themselves. Also.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
So with the Nightseeker books are contemporary, modern-day stories. With the Star Enforcers, is that future sci-fi, or is that galaxy far, far away kind of situation?
Well, it's kind of funny. When most people don't notice, though, is that the whole timeline is all the same. Is that Night Seekers in our world, in our galaxy, in our present day, as far as Star Enforcers, is in the Andromeda galaxy.
Okay.
But it's the same timeline, but they're just more advanced in that galaxy. So it's kind of fun, but as time goes on, people start to understand that these characters will actually merge.
Nice.
There'll probably be some kind of space bridge event or some kind of wormhole where the Star Enforcers crew will actually probably come to Earth.
Ah.
Yeah. Very cool.
That'll be fun. A little spoiler here. But
well, that's a couple books down the road, and
people
forget by then, right?
Yes. Exactly. We hope. And then we introduce you back to it again.
So we know you have three Night Seeker books out right now.
Correct.
Is there a fourth going to be coming out?
Well, the fourth one is Star Enforcers, as far as books goes. My fifth one is called Merge.
Okay.
And Merge takes place on Earth. It's our superhero character for the West Coast.
Ah.
So the next one now is the West Coast. And it deals with, instead of dealing with a college kid, now I'm dealing with a high school kid. And he is discovering this alien technology that he has access to. And it merges with his body. But the reason why it does is because he's dying. And the alien technology is actually saving him from dying.
Right.
But at the same time, the alien technology needs him to survive because of his electrical implants in his brain. It actually feeds the machine.
Huh.
So they're independent upon each other to function.
Oh, I wonder if we should take some questions from the audience.
Sir, would you like to come ask some questions? That mic down there works.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no, it's muted.
I heard there was a comic book show today, and I was wondering if you knew where it was.
Oh, the comic show, yeah.
It's somewhere nearby,
Somewhere nearby, yes.
Yeah. Facebook said that you were all very close, so I decided to move further back.
I'm not sure how to take that. but actually,
this has been an advertisement for Arid Extra Dry. Thank you.
But getting to the closest thing, a nice element about Merge is that the main character, he is going through, I guess hormonal sequence. Trying to figure out
what his preferences are.
Yeah. And it's nice to have this character. And later on, people find out that he's of alternative lifestyle. But he doesn't know it himself yet. And it's more of a self-discovery book. And also a person going through those phases in their life, they can look upon the book and say, okay, I can feel what this character's feeling, because also the main writer, who was me, is actually of that alternative lifestyle. And I think that's the boyfriend and stuff like that. But okay. It's nice having a part of my personality in this character and going through some of the same things he went through.
Right.
And, explain that to the public. Say, look, I know how you feel. I've been there myself. And you get through this, but you have to have support and people are there for you when you're ready to come out and tell people what you know.
Very true.
So here's a good question. Since it's your fifth book, it seems like it did take you this long to create a character like that. Did it take you a while to want to tell that story or tell that part?
Good question. When I first did Night Seeker, and I had got whiplash from my own family, friends around me, and say, you're going to produce your own character? Yeah, I want to produce my own character. Okay, and what color is he? And I was like, does it really matter? But he's based on me, so he's black. And he was like, that ain't going to work. Nah, dude, that's not going to work.
Right.
So I had to give the character a way out where I would give him a full coverage uniform, where you can tell it was black or white, like a Spider-Man type thing.
Right.
But it's all fully suit of armor. And no one can tell. And when people first picked the novel, the first novel that came out, I never revealed what the character's color was. Never did. You actually had to read into the book to find out what he really was. And also, I never said that he was actually black. But the certain things that he did, his mannerisms, the character's black. So yeah, the character's really me. And people were like, oh, that's why he seems so real. Yeah. But did it really matter about his color?
Right.
And people said, no, it really didn't. The story was what got me. It wasn't about his color, per se. It was just the way he handled the situation. When more real to life, it didn't matter what color you were, you kind of can feel what the character was going through.
Right.
Yeah.
But when it finally came out, I had to do a Trojan horse effect. And it's a common shame to do that because, when they find out, oh, the character, you're a black writer, so everything in your world is black. And it's like, really? I said, you tell it just by look at me, I'm black, and you're assuming that the world I created was black.
Right.
I said, well, have you read my books? I said, no, I haven't. Well, you'll understand that I have a different culture, all different cultures, all different ages in the book, so how can you call it a black book just because I'm black?
Right.
So I had to kind of snuff the stereotypes down. But when I really got to my world and understood it, they were like, whoa. It really opens you up to saying, man, this guy can actually write a good story.
Right.
It didn't matter what color the characters were. It's just very insightful.
Mm.
Yeah. So it makes it very different.
Yes. And right. Then, of course, now you're dealing with your sexuality in the newest book.
Yeah. The Night Seeker was really my outer self I wanted to project to people as, I want to make sure the character didn't have to go through too many issues.
Right.
So I said, okay, let's make the character straight, have the girlfriend and everything else. So that was my outward appearance. Most people thought that was straight. As time went on, people say, oh, wait, he's not a girlfriend. What's up with you? I'm really this, but I don't like to talk about it too much.
Right.
But when it came to merge, I got to tell more of my inside self. So, and the two characters will meet through time. But at the same time, they have respect for each other. Saying, well, I'm really like this. Oh, well, dude, don't worry about it. We can deal with this.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but like I said, does it really matter of a person's color, religion, or sex orientation?
Yeah.
It comes down to quality of a person, what they stand for, they take care of their responsibilities.
Yeah.
And that should be projected with any character coming out in the market, especially for superhero characters, because it gives you a part of morals of your upbringing, your culture, the times that we live in, especially now with the election and immigration stuff going on, is like, who will step up to the front and say who's going to create characters that, it'd be kind of cool actually, a superhero that's an immigrant character that comes to America and does that documentation and say, well, oh, now you're a superhero, but you're undocumented. We have to ship you back to your place of origin.
Right.
But I'm a superhero. I do all these great things for United States. Why do we want to ship you back?
Yeah.
Well, you're undocumented. We can't have that. So it'd be kind of cool to see if someone actually comes up with a character for that.
Well, they dealt with this in the comics before, too. Technically, Superman's undocumented.
Ooh. And it'd be really difficult to get all the background documentation there.
Eventually, right?
Yeah, well, even X-Men, when they dealt with the, documenting, the heroes, like, well, your name, your identity has to be revealed to us because you're doing these things in our city and we have to know who you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, in a way, they're already going through that kind of thing in the Marvel Universe.
Well, it's interesting, because Civil War was a reflection of what was going on in the country at the time when they wrote the story.
Yeah.
And here we are 10 years later, and we're still going through the same kinds of things.
Well, I love how people say, history repeating itself.
Yes.
It's not history repeating itself.
It's continuation,
It's people repeating history.
Right. One protest doesn't solve all our problems.
No? Yeah. All right.
Not so much.
Well, who's protesting for the orange people?
There's one pretty prominent guy.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, another thing, too, as far as female characters go, people are asking, well, Eric, we're going to put your female character out there. I said, well, they're in place. Is that they're going to start slowly coming up to having their own break-off books.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's kind of funny, though, that most of the conventions that we go to, females aren't really highlighted that much. If they're voiceover people, they're fine. But as far as artists and writers, there are not that many females that they put out to the front as being, like, guests at certain conventions.
Right.
But that goes for a fact of, like, even black creators, Latinos, and stuff like that. It'd be nice to have conventions that focus more on diversity of guests, where, not say, like, we like you go out to your employer, but at least spread the talent out where you have these different cultures coming in and creating a truly diverse Comic-Con. It would be awesome to see. Blurb is actually doing that over in Washington, D.C. I think it's their third year. I'm actually there as well this year, my first time.
Awesome.
But they cater to the LGBT community, Asian, black. It doesn't matter what creed you come from. They want to have these true, diverse Comic-Cons where everyone feels welcome no matter where you come from, or what religion you are. And never mind, even for like Indian, Pakistani people, where are their books? Where are their comics at? No one really highlights those type of things as well.
I know. Yeah. There's the Indian Spider-Man, and from what I understand, does really well in India.
Mm.
So
yeah.
But when it came here, I guess, fell off the tracks.
Well, I don't think they publish it here that much.
No, they only see them in the Web Warriors, interdimensional crossover type stuff.
Yeah.
But that's variable, and I don't know how well received it is.
And I'm still waiting for, transgender characters, when they start taking, even me, I have my own concept of one where it's a female, and she has a power to turn into a superhero, but it's a male superhero.
Hmm.
Okay.
And
that could be controversial.
Yeah, but also the male superheroes always get home by girls. And it's like, but then she starts to figure out herself, this girl's kind of nice, though, and she hits on me because I'm a guy, but if I was the girl, would she still hit on me? I wonder. So it'll go back and forth as we figure out what she really wants in her life.
Yeah.
But she might want to be a bi character.
It's an interesting gender identity question, or quandary. Yeah.
The most important question is, when she's the male superhero, is she wearing a skimpy costume?
Ooh.
Speed up.
It'll be tight. It'll be tight, most likely. Well, it's kind of spandex material. It'll be tight.
We know.
We know what you like.
We know what you like. We've seen the pictures of Nightseeker. We understand.
Well, that's armor, though. That's armor.
It's armor.
Not so much in the cosplay version.
Well, the sure with that one, yeah.
You're not dressed up as a Nightseeker this year.
Well, it's too early. I'm still in my body fat phase. around May, June, so I get more into my...
Still got that holiday weight to get rid of.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the water weight. Yeah, water weight.
You'll
take some water pills.
You'll bloom in spring.
So, all right, I mean, we've got plenty of time here. So what are some of the books and stories that inspire you?
You know what? I'm more of a movie buff.
Okay, movies.
I really have to give it to, we keep the source material. I have to say this, they deserve some kind of award, is Deadpool, because they stayed true to the character. I love taking that chance. Say, look, we're going to take a big chance and stay true to the material and see how it works out. And that movie had me rolling.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very well done. Another inspiration movie, it have to be my core movies, like The Terminator. Hmm. And I still believe to this day that is still Arnold Schwarzenegger's best role he's ever played. And originally, actually, the original Terminator was supposed to be O.J. Simpson.
Really?
That was supposed to be the original Terminator, was O.J. But he turned down the script. He turned it down. He was approached first.
Wow.
Yeah. Go figure.
I'm not going to go for the easy joke. No.
I'm just trying to imagine what today would look like if that had worked out. Like, I can't even imagine that variation of reality.
Yeah. And also, I forget, same thing with An Alien also was a big key for me. The original person that was supposed to give him that role was actually Sly Stallone. He turned it down. And Sigourney Weaver took over. Go figure that one out.
Yeah.
And that explains why that's one of those movies where they hold that up as an example for feminism, where there's a lead female character who isn't worried about getting married and isn't talking to other women about what men are cute. And she's just a lead character.
A lead character.
Right.
But also, I think some people were kind of saying they weren't too sure how well she would play because she didn't have the chest size, whatever.
Oh.
You know. But it didn't matter because she was just a very strong female character.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say female role. I'd say a strong role. I'd say male or female. It was a very strong role, and she played that to the nth degree.
Right.
And she embodied Ripley, and that was an amazing role for her. I mean, I love her in Ghostbusters, but as far as being Ripley, she kicked ass.
That she did, yeah.
She kicked ass.
So speaking of Terminator and Arnold being born to play the role, what about, did you see Genesis?
Yes, I did.
That says a lot right there.
Genesis, it had potential. Let's put it that way. It had potential, but you're messing around with the whole timeline of Kyle Reese, and to me, it didn't really work that well for me.
It felt like they were trying to capture some of what Star Trek did with the reboot, mess up with the timeline, so now we can explain a reboot for the movies.
Correct.
And they didn't quite get there.
No, not at all. And Arnold, for what he had to do, he was fine. For what had to be done. I mean, he had a couple cheesy lines here and there, but, you know, he did his function.
Yeah.
Especially when he went up against himself.
I will say that was like those special effects were phenomenal,
but was that his body though?
No, come on.
It was maybe a version of his body.
Yeah, right.
Not the modern version.
No.
Yeah. Another core was the Predator. And the original Predator movie, great. Second one was Danny Glover. Jason, I can deal with it. Predator versus the Aliens. I kind of look past that a little bit. It has some fun in there here and there, but I have to say the new Predators movie was excellent.
Okay.
Excellent take on being dropped into a jungle. It wasn't even an Earth jungle. It was actually a planet of somewhere else. And they're hunting you with your whole team of people. And you have your own weapons and everything else, but against the Predators, it's brutal. But and Lawrence Fishburne showing up out of the blue, that was... Nice little ice cream cake.
Yeah.
Oh, and have you guys seen John Wick 2 yet?
No,
not yet.
Yeah, is he becoming the new Samuel Jackson, I wonder?
Well,
possibly.
Nothing wrong with that.
Possibly. As long as we just keep him in movies like that, we'll be fine.
Yeah, you can only spread Samuel L. so far, so you need a second.
He's in King Kong, don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming up.
He looks like he plays the villain in that, right?
I wouldn't call it a villain character.
I would say he's a gray, like a gray Jedi. Oh, and I still think he's dead from the Star Wars films.
Oh, Mace Windu, yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen those theories. I know what you're talking about.
And I believe he's actually, I think Finn's probably his son, or some kind of grandson.
Possible.
Interesting.
And his lightsaber turns purple one day. You know the reason why.
Yes, and for those who are wondering what we're talking about, the theory is Mace Windu's hand was cut off. How many Jedi's have lost hands and lived?
Uh-huh.
And he fell out of a window, but how many Jedi's have fallen from great heights and lived?
Yes.
So you never saw his body?
Nope, never have. Yeah.
Nope.
Never have.
But it's been a really long time now the timeline that we're in. So.
Yeah.
And are we still holding to the premise that Rey may be Obi-Wan's daughter or granddaughter?
I think it's a possibility. They'd have to fill in some holes there to explain that one, though. I mean, he was a hermit for how many years? 17, 18 years?
Right.
On Tatooine?
Anything's possible.
I guess it is.
The theory behind that one is, the rumor behind that one is, people were asking, are you going to do a standalone Obi-Wan movie to people over at Disney? And they said, no, we're saving anything with related to Obi-Wan for the main films.
Mm.
Oh.
So that's really fueled that rumor, like, oh, well, there's two more films to go, and no mention of Obi-Wan yet.
It's a weird statement, though, because as far as I know, there's no plans to do any more prequels or interstitial movies, per se. So where would, like, Obi-Wan died in A New Hope. Where would Obi-Wan fit in the episodes?
Well, in an interstitial movie, you the gaps.
That's what,
he was
but
a hermit.
The interstitial movies are the anthology movies, and they said they were saving them for the main movies.
I meant,
the main movies are only numbering forward.
I don't know.
Just Force Ghost?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Get more Force Ghost?
All I want to know is this. Will Mark Hamill have a big role in the next film?
I think he'll have
That's the rumor.
Maybe he'll even say a word or two.
Testing 1, 2.
Yeah?
Have you guys seen Arrival?
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list.
I think you'd stop worrying about timelines once you see Arrival.
I have heard. I know what you're talking about. I've heard about Arrival, and I know what the premise behind what you're talking about is. That,
yeah.
Well, then, so you don't. There's no need to worry. I've never understood people worrying so much about Star Trek timelines. Who cares?
No, I'll tell you, I'm not worried. I enjoy the timeline variances. It's fun.
And, you know, your conversation is like three guys sitting in a drawing room somewhere having it. Well, there's only a few of us now.
Yeah.
We can't really hear what you're saying. So I would say speak up a little bit because we're fascinated with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, fascinated.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
But actually, getting back to Star Trek, the new series coming out,
Discovery.
Yes,
yeah,
that should be most interesting.
It should be interesting. What's weird is the leak of details I've seen on that. There's more I've seen about like other characters from other ships than I have from the actual crew of the ship that the show is about, and that just seems like a weird paradigm. Like, why they're being so hush-hush about supposedly the main cast of this show.
I guess they want to be more. Know. They want to keep more of a mystery.
I guess.
To make you want to actually watch it. Because if you know too much in advance, you might kind of
start judging it.
Yeah, judge it too quickly.
Are you planning to watch it?
Oh, yes. I've been waiting for a while for a new Star Trek series.
Yeah, that'll definitely go on my DVR.
I know we all
have. Yeah.
Question is, are you in it?
Ooh.
All right.
And a galaxy far, far away? Really?
So, all right. So you've got Star Enforcers out now. You're working on Merge.
Yeah.
You got any other irons in the fire at the moment?
Well, it'll be Night Seeker number 4. It'll take place in Chicago.
Okay.
And in this one, we'll deal with werewolves.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes. The second one dealt with vampires.
Cool.
So now we're going to werewolves now. And a character called Blade. Drifter.
Okay.
So his premise of his technology is somewhat like Flash.
Okay.
The nice thing about his suit, though, is that it always stays 1 millimeter above a surface where gravity doesn't really have any hold on him.
Right.
So he has no friction as he's running.
Right.
So not as fast as Flash, but he's fast nonetheless.
Yes.
So it makes it more fun for him.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So question for you. So you're dealing with vampires and werewolves on Earth with a character that's got, like, the Night Seeker suit is sort of an alien origin type thing.
Correct.
So are these supernatural creatures truly supernatural, or is it or are there some sort of weird alien or technical origins behind them?
Well, the thing I loved about doing Night Seeker was that I mixed the sci-fi along with the supernatural.
Okay.
And the technology to deal with supernatural was a little different from you know, supernatural technology. Well, almost like the same type of deal with Superman versus Black Adam, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because Superman is more technology-based and Black Adam is magic-based. So it's kind of like mixing those two elements together to bang all together. Right. And I love what about the mythos of the supernatural characters, because they have good storylines you could tap into and resurrect into our time and make it current.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about mixing those two things, those two elements together.
Yeah. No, it's outside of comics. You don't often see the crossover of those types of genres.
Correct.
And so it's interesting to see how you're approaching that.
But also in Merge's world, Shirley City on the West Coast.
Right.
We also will be dealing with the Sandman, also the Boogeyman.
Okay.
And they're actually both drug dealers. They're in charge of drug gangs.
Right? I can see that.
And their particular type of chemical will give a certain effect of the Boogeyman or the Sandman.
That's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
I like that.
So last time we talked, someone had turned some of the Nightseeker stuff into comics.
Yes.
Do you have any more of those coming out?
The first comic that came out was a color version. The main artist is Blair Smith. The writer is Keith Thomas. I work with both of them. Excellent people. They kind of surprised me by my first comic book. He said, well, Nightseeker needs a comic book. I'm too busy writing novels. And then when I'm invited to dinner, and all of a sudden, hey, guess what? What are you talking about? Hey, look, here's your comic. What are you talking about? Here it is. And I'm like, damn, okay. So I signed off on it. Great. So people said, well, we're going to write your own. I said, okay. So I finally cowed down to my fans. Say, okay, look, I put out my own comic book. It was black and white. It was done by Phoenix Nebula. And it's all great tones, black and white. It's a nice, smooth type of book, which is almost like a trailer movie to the first novel. So we use it as that. Now, Smoke and Mirror is the first one that Blair and Keith did. Most likely Phoenix and Blair would work on the next two installments, because it's actually a three-part series for Smoke and Mirrors. So that would be in the works for actually during the middle of this year. They'll start the process of that.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
I know how it works with independent comics, but any idea on like when we can look for number two?
I would say fall time.
Okay.
Look for fall for Smoke Mirrors number two. Look around fall time.
All right.
So by the time we get to New York Comic Con,
good possibility to be in hand.
All right.
Yeah, I'll probably do a Kickstarter also to support it. And Kickstarter is Kickstarter, Indiegogo for independent people. That's one of the best things to have going for you. If you're trying to produce your own product and you don't really have the finances you really want to get something started, Kickstarter is one of the best places to go. As long as you have a decent pitch and people behind you, you have good people on Facebook that really follow you. Not just followers, but actually people that actually support you.
Yeah.
It's an amazing combination, because they'll share the information that they love about your work, and other people probably want to support your project as well.
Cool. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think some creators give flack to the crowdfunding, because they talk about it being digital begging.
But it's basically pre-committing to purchase.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I always say that is the biggest difference. So what is something you suggest to creators who are looking at using like Indiegogo or Kickstarter? Like, you know, what do you think is the best platform for comics? And, you know, what are some things that you think they should offer, you know, to get people doing it?
Well, mainly, some of the best things to offer is definitely going to be a digital version of your book, which they can come in at a lower donation. You know, they kind of are into it, but kind of not. They kind of gives them an out where, like, $5, you get a digital version of the book.
Right.
Now, when you get starting into $15, $25 donations is the physical copy of the work. Also, you know, if you go higher than that, you know, like T-shirts, posters, you know. And what people really love are actually customized sketch work of certain characters, or even them with the character, which I've done for my Kickstarters, where we have a person that supported it. We use their image, their face, to be alongside one of their favorite characters in the book, and the artist will draw it for them. A little higher donation, yes, but they have something that's personalized to them, and it makes them feel really a part of that process. And also to acknowledge the backers in your books. You know, let them know that, hey, whoever donates, you're going to have a spot in the book where we know that you support it. Anyone that has the book, guess what? You can probably sign it, because you were one of the backers. So guess what? If you see somebody with that book, put it inside it.
Yeah. Right.
You're a part of that dream. You're a part of that process. So it gives you every right that, yeah, go ahead and sign that book. You're part of that dream.
Nice.
So it gives people more of ownership that
yeah,
they're part of the thing. And also, it's important about your pitch is that make sure it's not too long where it kind of bores people. Right. Unless you got like some banging music in the background. and maybe some girls going across the screen that like, you know, well, yeah, maybe that kind of thing. But, yeah.
If you're into that.
Well, as they say, sex does sell, but, you know, got to tone it down because you might have kids looking at it. Sure. But it's nice having something that connects with people, but also make sure your message is to the point and you're not dragging it out. And people want to actually support it because they believe in it. Once a person believes in something, they will support it and they will be a part of it. That's part of the community.
Right, because then I guess another added bonus to crowdfunding is you're then also building an audience for your product before it's released.
Correct. And that's one thing about the when I first put out the Night Seeker book, you know, I didn't do a Kickstarter. It was all my own funding. And my fans still follow me to this day at different conventions where, you know, and what I love about it is that, let's say, you didn't get the book at the first convention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you pass me by, you look at me, and, you know, you talk, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, you talk about your own. Oh, are you going to buy? Are you going to go? But, you know, but I spend my time with people. It's fine. But the next year, they'll come out. Oh, you're still here? What, you thought it was fly by night? I'm in this for a long haul, baby.
The real deal.
But then they say, you know what? You're still strong. You're still here. Let me buy a copy.
Right.
And when they buy that copy, and I know, said, now you're ready. I say, good. And they come back, let's say, the next year after that. Say, you know what? I need to get 2 and 3. Anything else coming out? Let's go on. But also, when they bring their friends and their family with them, mm-hmm. and say, you guys got to get his stuff. Because, say right now, this guy stands behind all his work. He actually gives the money back guarantee on all his work whenever you get it from him personally. That's one thing that I've taught to other owners of their product is that, look,
right.
if you really believe in what you got, you will stand 100% behind it, and you will back it up with your money, where you know that your stuff is solid.
Right.
And I've done this for over 10 years now, not one return yet. I'm still waiting for the first one.
Yeah, you're definitely the only creator I know that offers a money-back guarantee on his books.
Well, it's customer service.
Yes.
I mean, you go to a con, this is customer service. So, you cater to your crowd.
Right.
I'm waiting for some other creators to actually do what I do, but, you know, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
A couple guys are getting up to that level, but, you know, it's kind of fun being the one out there right now doing this. Say, look, I'm going to start this. You guys follow suit.
Right,
yeah.
But that also forces people to put out more material, more better functional work that people gravitate to. And, you know, hopefully later on they get their own movie rights and the whole 9 yards.
Movie rights.
Movie rights.
Movie
that's,
rights,
that's what
yeah.
I'm going for.
Night Seeker on the big screen.
Oh, also, I did do a script called Xander. It's a... It's a DC style product,
mm-hmm.
and the way McDuffie when he was writing out for Justice League, you know, we had Lex Luthor that was there, but for some reason the tone of his skin was getting darker and darker. I said, and his lips were getting bigger. I said, are we trying to do like a black Lex Luthor thing going here, or like a light skin style? So I said, you know what? And the director that I know from North Jersey, we were sitting down to dinner one day and we were talking about this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he already had an idea. I said, well, why don't we make Lex Luthor black and see how he handles it? But let's call him Lex. Let's call him Xander.
Yeah.
So Al,
yeah,
Lex,
yeah.
Xander.
Yep.
And Xander would be his last name. But let's make sure that we timeline it as right after Superman, Man of Steel.
Okay.
So well, why do you want to do that? Well, then you understand, like, all that destruction that he caused on Earth, for being here, no one actually acknowledged it. And when he got up the next morning to go to Daily Planet for a job, he didn't see none of the buildings all destroyed, no one still picking up the pieces. It was like, oh, it's just another day.
You know?
Yes.
And so...
Time for to make this, the donuts.
Yeah. But for this one, when I started making the script, I said, well, look, let's do it when... Well, we did see some of Lex's stuff inside the movie. I said, well, let's make it where he's actually in his office, you know, one of the tall skyscrapers. And he's looking down at all the structures Superman's creating with Zod, fighting Zod, and his other people. And let's say he gets a call on the phone while this whole thing's going on. And the call on the phone is, something just happened. And he throws out a phone and leaves the office. Later on, you come to find out that he had a wife and a kid that was actually one of those buildings that actually
collapsed
down.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're giving him an actual reason.
Reason why to hate,
to hate
him.
Superman.
Yes.
There was never a true reason. They said, oh, it was ego. To have someone to be driven to almost kill you, well, the Batman thing doesn't really exist. but that gave a reason. But also, at the same time, I was actually having him going through drug addiction for losing his wife and his kid. So he's going through drug, alcoholism, and everything else.
Right.
And to have this be part of his persona, and the reason why he got better was because of him seeking revenge on Superman. So he got rid of all that, but also he was creating a technology inside of that, was that he was developing the first Terminator.
Hmm.
And I've always said, like, Metallo, what do they call Metallo? I'd actually make him a Terminator-style character.
Yeah.
And also to have AI and everything else being involved in the writing. And a couple of studios do have it. They're looking through it. It's possible they might start shooting on it.
Hmm.
And I made a nice self-contained storyline, and it would suck a gas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely a better motivation than just, I'm crazy and I hate Superman?
Yes.
Yeah.
That we got into Batman v Superman?
Ben Affleck. I mean, Ben, come on. I want my own Batman movie now.
Should we pretend that movie doesn't exist?
Well, I try to. It doesn't always work.
Well, do we call it fake movie?
Fake movie, yeah.
Yes. There you go. It's a fake movie. Fake movie.
Yeah.
It was huge, but it's a fake movie.
Huge.
So, all right. So as we're getting near the end here, where can people find your stuff?
Well, the best thing about having my own character is that I own my own site. So nightseeker.com is how to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. But always spell night with a K. You know, it's like a night shining on, not the night, like day and night. And also I'm on Facebook, just type in Eric Cooper. You'll see me in some kind of costume. You might see the boyfriend next to me in the same picture. because I love him to death. And he's a Marine, God bless him. Young guy, you know, half my age, but old soul, I love him. But Anthony has been a blessing in my life. I've waited for someone like that for a long time. And, you know, like I said, if a person does have the alternative ideas of what the orientation is, don't be afraid to confront it, because you might discover a better happiness for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, life is about being content and happy with who you are, and don't be afraid of your own skin. Just live life, but take care of your responsibilities, be good to other people, but treat other people the way you want to be treated. And that's
right.
One of the best golden rules, is treat people the way you want to be treated. I've always done that. And even with my fans, stuff like that, I said, look, when I create a creation of work that I do for art, I want a fan for life, not just a temporary thing. I want you to make sure that you're happy to even show your family, your kids, you know, as you get older, and as I get older, you know, that it's something that you appreciate, and they can actually relate to that, and it's something that they want to get their kids involved in. And like I said, you want to grow with your fan base.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And, yeah, you don't want to be stagnant as well.
No, and you also want to always put something new out. As I call myself, secret entertainment, is that I'm always looking for new talent. And I do want to work with more female writers and characters, because, you know, they need a bigger voice also. And I am looking forward to a new Wonder Woman movie. Wonder Woman, I'm hoping that, you know, the music sounds great. The action sequences are actually decent. but I wish she had a bigger part in Superman versus Batman. Because she only had very few speaking lines.
Yes.
But she had a certain kind of sass that I did like, and I wanted to see more of that, and hopefully they will show it in a new film.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
And so what are some of the next conventions you're going to be at?
Let's see. Oh, I have a list, but, you know, not all me. I'll be at KimCon. It's over in North New Jersey. It's going to be March 18th. We have our own convention, me and Jabbar Brown. It's called Underground Comic Con. It's our fifth one. It's going to be in Delaware, as always. It's at the DECA Art, the Contemporary Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a one-day event. It's going to be on November 3rd, so it's the first Friday of November. And also it's during the Art Loop tour, where people come into Delaware to look at all the art in certain areas of the city. And it's run by a bus company. And the last stop of the art tour is actually at the museum. So that's why when people get off there, they don't go anywhere else. They just stay locked at our convention. Which is great, because, you know, we have food, we have music, we have DJs,
right.
We have breakdancers.
We have a captive audience.
We had Circus Soleil there last year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and the food and drink, you can't beat it. I mean, you get like a beer fight, $3. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And they got fish tacos. Fish tacos. I love the fish
tacos.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I'll be at Philly Wizard World this year. Also, Tide WaterCon. We're going back there again this year. They love us. I will get to San Diego Comic-Con, but that'll be just my vacation. Love going
right.
there for that.
Yeah.
Baltimore Comic-Con, definitely. We're always there as well. And there's a few other cons here and there. AC/DC, we're starting to find out that it is going to happen again this year in Atlantic City. Mike is putting on that show again. It should be November as well. And we're looking forward to being there as guests as well. And, you know, we get around. And Ocean City Comic Con, there is a guest. Billy D. Williams, my cousin, will be there too. It's good to see him again. And that's going to be in April 1st and 2nd, I believe, Saturday and Sunday.
April Fool's weekend.
Yes. Can't count for you to be there.
Perhaps. Okay. And so before we wrap up, you got anything else you want the people to know about?
Mainly, I would say follow the work on NightSecret.com. We're always posting new events there. And get more in tune with my artists. One of my best artists right now is Phoenix Nebula. He is phenomenal in his artwork. He sees what I see when he does his artwork. I work with a couple other guys, but this person here has been very much in tune with everything I do. Also, Jabbar Brown, I'm helping him edit some of his own work and writing some of his work as well. So we have our own universe coming out for Underground Comic-Con, or Underground Comics. So I'll be combined with their teams to produce. It's one of the ones he's producing is called Savage Lion.
Okay.
And it's more of a technological jungle feel. So a mixture of, say, tech with jungle atmosphere. Mm-hmm. All combined in Africa. So you can think of it as Black Panther-ish, but we deal more in the underworld stuff.
Okay.
So it's more of a darker, grittier feel, but it has a lot of meaning and purpose behind it. And, you know, we just really want to put some stuff out that's original and different that people can really gravitate to and actually say, look, we love this world. Why don't more people write this kind of stuff?
Right.
That's what we want to have.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Nice. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you to our audience as well.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, guys.